Gird up your loins. That's an expression that you find several times in the Bible, and if you're wondering how you do it, I found this helpful little guide online. You have to be wearing a long tunic, and it goes down to the floor. You hoist it up from the bottom, and then you bring it above your knees and gather the material together, and then pass it through your legs and get it in the two hands around the back, and then you bring it together at the front, pulling it tight across the back, and then tie it together. And there you have it. As you can see, I've girded my loins. So people would wear tunics like that for everyday use, but when they were working, or indeed when they were fighting, they would gird up their loins to give them much more freedom and mobility. Now, Peter's work, the Apostle Peter, was as a fisherman, if you remember. And in issue 5 of our newsletter, I included a snap of Peter from the film Jesus. And they show him in that film cleaning his nets, presumably at the end of a day, with his loins girded. And Peter uses that expression in his first letter in chapter 1, verse 13. Though our Bible, the ESV translation, explains the meaning of it rather than translating it literally. It has prepare for action. What Peter actually wrote is gird up the loins of your minds. So prepare your minds for action. And in our Bible reading this morning from 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 13 to 25, there's a lot in it that sort of summarise how we should live as a Christian. And as we prepare our minds for action, part of what we should do is look back and remember what it means to be a Christian. So in verse 18, we knowing that you were ransomed with the precious blood of Christ. So when Jesus first started speaking about the fact that he was going to suffer and die, you may remember that Peter was none too pleased, and he actually rebuked Jesus for it. But later, after Jesus' death, Peter began to understand that it was necessary for Jesus to die in order to save us. And not only necessary, but it is the means by which we can be forgiven. We can be ransomed with the precious blood of Jesus. Then in verse 21, we know that God raised Jesus from the dead. And so our faith and hope are in God. And in verse 25, we believe the message of the gospel, which has been preached, which Peter preached. And that message, the living word of God, an abiding word of God, is the message of salvation, verse 23. So because of what Christ has done, when we believe the gospel, we are born again, verse 23 again. So we prepare for action when we look back and remember that we are born again, not by things that we do, but through what Christ has done, through the power of his death and resurrection. And we're born again when we believe the gospel, the living word of God. So we look back. But Peter also writes about looking forward in order to prepare our minds for action. And in verse 13 he says, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this is about what happens when Jesus returns. So we're looking forward to that, to his return. 2 weeks ago in this letter of 1 Peter, we saw in verse 5 how we are guarded by God through our faith, guarded for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And that salvation is the grace that Peter mentions in verse 13. When Jesus comes again, when he is revealed in the last time, we will receive that grace, God's free gift. And the grace is that we'll be saved from judgment to come. So our faith and our hope are in God, verse 21. And such faith, well, it's deep within us, but it's also about our minds. It's about knowing and believing that these things are true. And as we do that, we're preparing our minds for action. Then we also remember that if we belong to Christ, we're exiles in this world. It's the Apostle Paul who writes about our citizenship being in heaven, but Peter is saying something very similar in these verses. In the opening verses of the letter, he describes believers as exiles. In the next chapter, chapter 2, we'll see how we're called sojourners and exiles. But here in chapter 1, verse 17, we remember that if we belong to Christ, we're exiles here. So it's a temporary home. It's not our true home because our true home is in heaven and we're exiles here. This is just a temporary place of residence. And so, do you see, by all these things, by reflecting what Christ has done, by looking to our future hope, and because we are at present exiles, we prepare our minds for action. But these verses are about that action, and there are several action statements within them. First, in verse 14, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. So Peter has been writing about the fact that as believers, we're born again. I'm reminded of a book that we sometimes give out to new Christians called New Life, New Lifestyle by Michael Green. Coming to faith should change our lives. And I know for myself, when I became a Christian, which is quite some time ago, I can't remember how long, there were some things that did change immediately. But there were other things that only change very slowly, and it can be slow and it can be hard to leave behind some of that old lifestyle. But being born again means a new life, and that means putting away some of those ungodly things, all those ungodly things. And Peter is saying that in ignorance, we once accepted them. We thought they were good or important, but they're none of those things. God shows us in his word, the Bible, what is good and pleasing in his sight and those things that are not. And we shouldn't be conformed to the old passions. But secondly, Peter says in verse 15, as he continues, be holy in all your conduct. And why are we to be holy? Because the Lord who called us is holy. And in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 44, he said to his people, be holy, for I am holy. Now, the heart of the idea of holiness seems to be about being set apart for God. You can think of it as being different, but it isn't just about being wacky and different from other people. It is about being like God, holy because he is holy. And so being like him and not being like the world. And again, we learn from him, from his nature, from his acts, from his word, what it means to be holy. And notice that it's not about doing some holy things. So we don't think, I'm going to church and that is my holy bit for the week. Peter says, be holy in all your conduct. So that means in our homes, in our workplaces, though, of course, at the moment, for many, their workplace will be their home. But in all areas of our lives, in all our conduct. Then thirdly, in verse 17, regarding our conduct again, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. Now that doesn't mean being afraid of the world that we live in, afraid of opposition and so on, but it's that proper and reverent fear of God because of who he is, because of his holiness. You remember that when often people were confronted with the presence, the holiness of God, they fell down on the floor in fear in the scriptures. And he is the judge of all. And Jesus says, fear him who is able to destroy body and soul in hell. So it's a reverent fear, a fear born from the fact that we know we have been ransomed by the blood of Christ and we understand about God's own holiness. And then fourth, in verse 23, we are to love one another earnestly from a pure heart. That's one of the marks of a true believer, that we love our fellow believers, that we want to be in fellowship with them so that we can show love to them. And it's the self-giving love that we see in Jesus that we are to bring about in our lives, a willingness to serve and to give ourselves for others just as he did. Peter also refers to it as brotherly love, because as believers, we have a new family. Now, of course, brotherly love in families does sometimes fail, and it may be that being cooped up together at this time has put love in your family life under strain. But brotherly love should be part of what we are as Christians, because we belong to a new family. We belong to our brothers and sisters in Christ. So in these verses, Peter is writing about living the Christian life, remembering that by faith in what Christ has done for us, we've been born again. But then we are to live with hope, in holiness, in reverent fear, and in love. So, gird up the loins of your mind, prepare your minds for action, and then action. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that you've done for us through Christ. We pray, O Lord, that as we reflect on that, as we remember it day by day, you'd help us to prepare our minds for action. You'd give us that living hope. And Lord, you'd help us to live it out day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.